This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello, here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, is that right? Andrew's spinning a basketball. I'm in St. Louis. He's next to me. Noah is in Arizona. And we have a special guest today. It is my friend and sound healer slash voice coach, just slash friend. And it's Aria. Is your last name?
Tomei.
Tomei.
It's so good to be with you,
Aria
guys.
Aria Tomei. Wait, like Marissa?
Like Marissa Tomei. I've never met her, but I want to meet her. But
is it? Wait, T-H-O-M-E?
Yeah, with a little asterisk.
Oh, how?
Or not asterisk.
Wait, you do an accent aigu?
Yeah.
Do you really use, has it always been there or did you throw that in?
I threw that in there when I changed my name.
Oh my God, yes. Because why not?
So now it's legal.
Oh, so before, how did you pronounce it? Tomei?
Tomei.
Tomei?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so straight up out of the gate, Aria is transgendered.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So surprise.
Oh no.
No, don't leave us. You didn't tell me he was transphobic.
Oh God. I didn't know until now.
Get out, Andrew.
Can you imagine? So Aria is trans and changed her name, both of her names. That's so, I didn't know you were able to amend the second one. Why did you do that?
Well, I did some research. Well, you know, I'm a musician, I'm a choir director.
Yes.
So I did some research about genealogy and I found out that I'm related to a French composer, Francis Tomei. And he has a town that he's from, the town.
Is it Tomei?
T-H-O-M-E with the, what do you call it?
A town A. Yeah. He has a town A.
Yes.
So he has a town.
Yeah, he has a town in France. And
he owns the town, the composer?
No, well, he's dead.
Okay, but he was from a town?
He was from a town.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was a famous composer. And so then I learned that my last name is not German, which is what I grew up believing. And it's actually French. So I thought French is much cooler than German. So
it is. No offense to anyone.
Yeah. So I started. Yeah.
French is more feminine.
Oh, God. I was dying to do French.
It feels very masculine.
Everything you sound like in Germany just Oh, God. Yeah. I'm offending so many Germans. I'm sorry.
It's okay. they can take it. Right. They're a hard people.
I had a history teacher who said, everything you say in French sounds like you're asking for sex, but everything you say in German sounds like I'm going to kill you.
It sounds like you're asking for, you know, sex with poop.
Yeah, it's weird to yell at your wife while asking to fuck her.
Don't say that to me.
You actually know French.
I was trying to think of like where is the bathroom if that sounds like, do you want to have sex with me?
How do you say where is
quand
it? Est
le,
yes, yes.
Bagno? I don't know.
Bagno.
I'll meet you there.
They call that. We used to get, so I also added an accent aigu to, and an extra E to my middle name, Renee.
Did you?
My parents named me Renee, R-E-N-E, but they named me after their friend Rennie, but they thought that no one, that would be too weird of a pronunciation for that name, so they made it Renee, even though they spelled it the way, and they named me after Rennie, who was like this cool girl they knew. So they robbed me of a cool pronunciation. Gave me the Renee, but then they, Renee, R-E-N-E, that's the male French version, which is fine,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't know that. They thought they were doing, but the female, if you're Renee with and you are the feminine version is R-E-N accent aigu with an extra, or R-E-N-E accent aigu with an extra E. So I changed it in high school to that to make it like more French.
Like legally, you went down
no,
to the-
No, I'm not going to do all the paperwork.
Yeah, I can't imagine you going to the courts.
No. You know, I just did it for fun on like, you know, my school papers and stuff.
Right,
but
I did mine illegally first.
I want to do, I want to go by Rennie, but I had a friend in high school also, Lauren Hufford, and she made her name a Y for instead of an E on Lauren.
Ooh.
Oh.
Just out of nowhere, she did like Lauren Hill, and we were just like, what is this?
What are you
and
doing?
She's back to the, I'm sure she's back, but you just are like trying to find something that makes you a little bit like unique in high school. But you changed your name officially and legally. You just got your license, right? Like you just changed your name.
My name has been legally changed since about October of 2 years ago, but there's so much red tape you have to jump through in Missouri to get your license. And if your name is changed, I mean, just forget it. I mean, they make you so many gender hoops you have to jump through. But fine, like I couldn't do it. Like I just froze, like with anxiety. So
yeah.
I was like,
I freeze with anxiety when I have to get like my license renewed. Like I'm gonna have the wrong papers. They're gonna think that I'm illegal. I'm gonna go to jail forever. All these anxieties you have about doing anything with, even the going to the post office, getting your passport renewed.
Right?
I always feel like I'm doing something wrong. And
they're gonna know about a parking ticket I have 7 years ago that I didn't pay.
Right, yeah. And they won't send you a license until you have three more documents.
Yeah. Yes, and then add to that, I mean, talk about red tape, like in terms of just filling out forms and having the right forms and everything. You do when you're changing, when you're trans and you're going through these, changing your name and getting all, your gender changed on your license and all these things, you're still dealing with people who have to look at your paper and then look at you and kind of go, oh, that's what she's doing.
Oh,
you know, like
okay.
There's the judgment along the way in interpersonal relationships.
Oh, there absolutely is.
That process.
So my Arizona, when I lived in Arizona, I had a license. And then when I came here, my license was stolen, so that's why I had to get a Missouri license. But when I was just at the DMV recently, I had to bring my court papers that said that my name was changed and my gender was changed. And you could just tell, by the way, that she looked at her paper, looked up at me, looked at her paper, looked up at me, and just these eyes of judging just like shot daggers down
your soul.
You're not
5'4".
I know. I tried to convince her.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Okay.
Right.
Oh, it's so much.
Take the heels off.
Right, exactly.
It's just, we were talking about this yesterday. I had a voice lesson that turned, it was just 2 hours of us like hanging, you know.
Right.
Like 20 minutes of voice work.
A little bit of singing.
Yeah, a little bit of singing, but it was mostly hanging and just like, I don't know if I were trans that I could go through all of the stuff you have to go through to, I might just like feel defeated and just go, okay, I'm just going to live a lie my entire life because it's too much of an inconvenience to people. People are going to think this way about me. They're going to think I'm trying to get attention. They're going to think that I'm lying about like their people's opinions about me would feel so overwhelming. And also add in all the paperwork on top of it, but all the like, you know, political nonsense that
the political nonsense since trans has been so tied up with politics lately. Like when I came out to my parents, my dad was like, you're just making a political statement.
Can you imagine?
How long ago was this? And
it finally came out to them probably about 4 years ago.
When did you know that, like, because trans was not like a thing we knew about. You're 39. I'm 38.
Right.
Andrew's 41.
42.
So we are all around the same age. When we were in high school, I didn't know what trans was. I thought there's men that like to dress as women, mm-hmm. and those are cross-dressers, which is, and then there's drag queens, and like, I had them all lumped together, but I didn't know there was someone who felt they were born in the wrong body until, I don't know when. But once it was a thing that I heard about, I got it immediately. I don't know why it takes so long for everyone to fucking get it, but it does, and it still does, and people still think people are doing it, political statement, to get attention.
Right.
To just be...
It's in vogue
anti,
somehow.
Establishment.
Right.
When did you hear about trans and be like, transgender people and be like, oh my God, that's me. Did you have that moment?
No, that's really interesting. No, I grew up in a very conservative Catholic bubble. So I went to, Catholic grade school, Catholic high school. Years and years of therapy, honey. I didn't have the language. After puberty, I didn't have the language to understand what was going on. I was like, I just feel different. I don't know how to describe it, but
did you
want to
hang out with girls when you were younger? Like, did you gravitate more towards more feminine things? Like,
I did. My brother was really into monster trucks. I was like, fuck no. Wanted nothing to do with that.
Like Christmas, did you get toys that you're just like, oh God, I guess I have to have
it's like, what am I going
to
do with this
like,
toolbox?
If I was a little girl and was getting boy toys, I would have been a little bit, I would have longed for the dolls my sister was getting. Like if that was just, you can't have those. There's something, that's why I don't understand when people can't understand like how... trans people, they don't understand, like, how can you feel a different way inside? Well, when you were a kid, what did you want to play? What did you gravitate towards? What if you were, like, barred from playing with those things?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I just wanted to sing. And
you just wanted to sing.
And do music. And,
yeah.
I remember one time, there was this really defining moment. Halloween, when I was in fourth grade, I cross-dressed. So I dressed up as a woman for Halloween.
It's your one night you
get
to
my God. I've never seen my dad so livid and say, as long as you're living under this roof, one of those speeches.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I was 10 years old.
So that probably stopped you from exploring it.
That stopped me from exploring it for a long time.
And how like confident you were and like all the things, like he's probably saw you kind of like pop to life and like, and he saw maybe like, he at the time wants to do this. Now he's going to want to do this more, and I got to squash. It's like so sad.
Now that you put it in those terms, yes, I did pop to life. Like my hair was curled, I had clip on earrings, had a dress. My sisters put like lipstick and
can you imagine being
me,
a little girl to everyone out there who's a cis girl, like never being allowed to wear a dress, or like some girls are just tomboys, and maybe that doesn't resonate with you. But I would have felt very sad to not be allowed to have Barbies. To like play little pretty princess, mm-hmm. or if I played it, it was like a joke that I was playing it because I'm a boy. Like to not be able to like the things you like because that's not for you is just.
And the one person giving you unconditional love is very conditioned, like the most conditional.
So yes. Conditional.
Like the one person you feel like you could lean on,
right,
isn't there, and so. You go through that experience, and then now you're going through high school, and you're going through puberty, and you're feeling these changes.
Like, so confused.
Yeah.
Did you tell anyone?
And afraid, probably, right? Like
I was absolutely very afraid of like who I was. I was like, I don't know what this is. So there was enough language like for me to be like, okay, maybe I'm a gay man.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. There
and
you
go. And so that was the first thing that I came out as. I came out as a gay man.
Because you were attracted to men or that you felt feminine?
No, like, because I felt feminine.
Okay.
So I thought I had like one or two choices. I could be heterosexual or gay. Those were the two choices.
Yeah. I mean, I would have assumed so too.
Like, because obviously we didn't have any LGBT friends growing up or any of that.
Kind of before the internet too.
Like yeah, really before the internet, before we, constant news, before news cycles, really before like trans rights really started taking off and these horrible anti-trans legislations started coming through. Like we just, I was in a bubble. I had no idea any of this existed. But I was still like too afraid to come out as gay. So, what
did it feel like there was something maybe off about that label for you? Even like, did you feel like, okay, good, I'm not weird. Like I found my people. Like I found a group that once I'm out of this house, I can go be a gay man. Or was it like, this doesn't quite fit either?
It was both. Mm-hmm. I started working at a gay bar. I started playing piano and singing at a gay bar on Tuesday and Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. And
is this high school or post high school?
This was college.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, these are more of my people. Like,
where was this?
This was, it's not there anymore. It used to be called The Heights off of Jefferson.
Oh, but here in St. Louis.
Yeah, here in St. Louis. And then, so I started working there.
So you grew up, I'm sorry, but did you grow up here in St. Louis?
Yeah, I grew up in St. Louis.
Okay, so you grew up in a state that is very conservative.
Yeah.
We didn't have any gay people in high school.
Yeah. I was just wondering.
We didn't have any. They just didn't. We got, you
know. So it's even scarier in a state, too, that is like, yeah, okay.
And I remember one time, I'll remember this also from my father. And I have a decent relationship with him now. That's another story. But like, I remember like sitting with him like at the breakfast table and he was reading the news like he always does. And he was reading an article about a taxi driver who refused to give an inebriated gay man a ride based on principle because he was gay. And I remember my dad being like, well, good for the taxi driver. I wouldn't have ever, you know. And then he told me a story about how, you know, because my dad's a plumber, totally respect his profession, but he had a gay man who was also at the same plumbing company, and he absolutely refused to be on the same shift as him or to drive in the same van, you know, because they went 2x2.
Your dad sounds gay.
So honestly, no offense taken.
Because obviously there's no offense to be had if you're gay, but that sounds like someone who's very gay.
So like,
like, you know what I mean?
Plumbers, if they love the smell of shit.
People that are like so scared of gay people.
Yeah.
You're gay, man. Like,
right.
If you care that much. But also, do you think that your dad telling you that, like, choosing to read that story to you was him noticing that you were a little more effeminate than
a little
he would
bit more
liked,
effeminate, yes.
And being like, I need you to know that this is not okay. And I'm just going to share this anecdotal.
That's absolutely true. Because mom and
the
dad knew.
The newspaper article was from like 3 years ago. He's like, oh, look at this. Whoa, breaking news.
He's reading the sports man pages.
Man refuses gay ride. Weird. That's from 1948. Yeah, right.
He was well aware that I was mama's boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And mama's boy, you know, tends to be gay a lot.
Mm-hmm. Did you get bullied for being effeminate?
I did.
Did people call you gay? Was it like a thing that?
It was, yeah, I got called gay in grade school.
Yeah.
In high school, I just beat everybody to the punch and like ran for class president and got that right away.
Oh my God, that's
so
what,
I was like, you guys aren't going to touch me. I'm going to like,
that's
the
what a guy
first
in my
female
high school
president,
did.
They had no idea.
Right, exactly. The first trans president.
We
that's
did
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
Woo! Broke the glass ceiling.
Kind of.
Yes.
Right.
In a disguise. Yeah.
That's so interesting that, you threw yourself into like, look over here. Like, if I'm just doing all of this, it's not like you made fun of yourself necessarily. You were just.
No, but I was small. I was underdeveloped. And, you know, the girls in high school were like, oh, cute. He at the time. So he wants to be class president. That's cute. We'll vote for him.
Yes.
That's really cute.
But did you have girlfriends, boyfriend? Like,
I did. I didn't have any boyfriends because, two words, boyfriends. Just because I hated sports. I could not get into, like, I didn't, you know, because.
Wait, you didn't have any guy friends?
I didn't have any guy friends.
You were mostly friends with girls?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Because.
Did you have any romantic partners in high school?
I did. I had.
And we will get back to that and get all the details right after this break. Andrew!
Every cowboy knows the world is a growing out of dust.
Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a
fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to Quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're like me and you struggle with FOMO and also FOGO, which is fear of going out, then you might need therapy because it has really helped me to talk to a therapist about my social anxiety and how that manifests for me. It looks different than other people. I just feel guilty all the time if I don't do things and then I dread doing them. But it's something that I've learned to accept and just embrace about myself and to forgive myself and to like myself about it. If you are also on a journey to appreciating yourself and accepting yourself, can I recommend therapy? It is so helpful to talk to someone who is not going to judge you, who has heard it all. BetterHelp is the way to start because it's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like them and it doesn't go well, you just switch. You don't even have to like talk to them about it. That's the beauty of BetterHelp. It is for people with social anxiety. So if you struggle with social anxiety, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
All right, we're back. Andrew just squirted his Gatorade in his mouth.
You're loving that bottle. I can't wait to stop doing that.
Because it sounds like someone's pissing when I'm editing the show back.
It does sound like someone's pissing in your mouth.
It's not good. Remember, we're audio too.
Oh, God.
It really does.
Like he's in the corner.
Oh, man.
Let me get in your cab.
It does sound like it's like piss on a carpet. Why does your tongue have a
It's already wet to begin. I think I'm going wet on wet. Yeah. My mouth is very wet and I'm throwing water.
Just suck on it. Can we hear what it sounds like if you suck on it?
I don't think it's made to suck on, but I'll do it.
Are we on the air?
Oh, yeah, that's better. Okay. Yes, we're on air. This is entertainment. Aria's like, is this, do people listen to this shit?
All right, transgender.
Oh, you look like a baby sucking a nipple. That is not a, I don't
actually
like that.
That's kind of cute.
No, I have too much skin. There's so much skin in here. Yeah. I have this. It's a lot.
You have too much skin. Oh, I don't think you have too much skin. Why do you always say that?
I don't know. I just have a big, from nose to lip.
A lot of meat there.
Yeah, so much meat. And it just keeps getting more and more the older I get.
It just keeps falling.
I swear, I look at old photos of me and I'm like, I didn't have that much meat. Something happened. Either my nose got higher or my lip got lower.
Oh my gosh, do that again. Lift your nose up. That's such a funny look for you.
Is it better?
Wait, just do the tip like you, I like almost, yeah. So now.
Hey, what's up? You want to go to Calabasas?
Like? You look like the Whoville.
I'd say yes to that face.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Thanks.
All right. Wait a second. Aria, I'm dying to know. So you had romantic relations in high school. I'm just interested because I did not. And I'm like, what did you do? Like,
I did. Well, again, because you're not gay when you go to Catholic grade school or high school.
You can't be.
You're not allowed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't be. So I dated girls that I was friends with. So, I mean, the dating was hella awkward.
Were you ever the one to push it forward, or were they the ones?
They were the one who were pushing for it. And it was really awkward. Well, like,
were you into women or into girls?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So like, things wouldn't work.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. We know what you mean.
Yeah. And when you're in high school.
I have that and I love women.
Oh. That's a different episode, right?
So did you feel like you were failing? Or
I felt like I was failing on the sexual front, like completely.
But so, were you like masturbating to men? Like, did you know how to make it work? Did
I
you have crushes
I made
on boys?
It. I did have crushes on boys.
I feel like we're very similar. Like, I surrounded myself with women. None of them came after me because I presented as a woman.
Right.
So I never had to like do anything. But I feel like I also felt this like nervousness around guys. And like, I wanted them so bad, but I couldn't even talk to them because I was scared of how much I wanted them to like, and like I would disappoint them or like.
Right.
Not in a similar way, because it's not at all the same, but there's something similar about that of like, you weren't friends with guys.
No.
And you weren't obviously romantic with guys.
No.
And so you were just living this lie that you thought wasn't even a lie, really. You were just, did you feel like it was a lie?
The whole thing felt like a lie. The whole thing felt like something. It was just the feeling that I'm like in the wrong place at the wrong time. Just, I didn't know that later it would manifest itself as like being in the wrong body.
Right.
It was just a place like I'm in the wrong room. Like, mm-hmm. And I don't know how to describe it to anyone. I don't, like, the lights are out and I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way is up. I don't know which way is down. It was just this feeling of disorientation.
Did you write about it? How did you deal with that? Like, did you hurt yourself? Did you?
No, I poured myself in school.
Okay.
So, yeah. Like, I was number 3-atorian. Like, I was valedictorian, but I was number 3.
Yes.
But and like, I was in NHS. I was in,
yes,
you know,
National
I was,
Honor Society.
I was class president for 4 years. And
yeah, so you just had an identity, one that you could control.
So I, yeah.
And you poured yourself into that.
I poured myself into that. Poured myself into academics and music. And it's like, well, I'll never find like romantic happiness. That's just something that's going to evade me for the rest of my life. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, I had this really distorted view of, like, masturbation as well growing up.
Oh, yeah. Catholic.
Because,
even if you're masturbating to the the gender that you should, in huge Catholic quotes.
Right. In huge Catholic quotes.
That's wrong, too.
So, the talk, quote unquote, the talk that I was given was when I was, like, a sophomore in high school. I came home from high school one day, and mom's like, oh, I got a book for you on my bed. And I was like, okay. And I went into her bedroom and on her bed was the book like God, Sex, and You or something like that. So it was like a Catholic perspective on like sexuality.
So I would love to get my hands on that book.
It was just
probably so hot.
Yeah. Yeah, I got off to that.
Yeah, just all the repression, just how sick it was. Not being able to do things.
Right.
There's something that is erotic about being like, you are bad, you can't do this, and being like, I want to, and they're like, right, you can't. I mean, that's like all I that's get your off whole sexual, to.
So even though like by the time I was a sophomore, I was more independent thinking. And I had fallen in love with the band Queen at that time, so I was very much for like gay liberation, like. But even
so, you knew, so you were like, I'm gay, and I'm gonna get really into these gay things.
Yes. And so I knew it, but like I was still shamed.
Thank God for music too.
I know. Thank God.
And like a band and a flamboyant band leader.
I know. Like, thank God for Queen. Like,
yeah.
If Freddie Mercury was here today, like, you know, they always tell you like if you have like one person from the. You could bring back from the dead, like me.
Yes.
It's always Freddie Mercury for me.
Yeah. Did you enjoy that biopic?
Oh, I did.
Yeah. I haven't really seen it yet. Okay.
And I've read a lot of his biographies.
Yes.
But I found so much solace in his music and Elton John's music just because they were who they were and they didn't say sorry about it.
Yeah.
But even though I was a sophomore and I was like starting to like think for myself and form my own opinions, there was still that like, I'm living under this roof. Where fake news stories are read to me and where like you're given books of shame for thinking how you think.
But when you masturbated, you were thinking about dudes, and did you feel like so much shame afterwards?
I did. Oh my God. Loads of shame. Just like self-loathing.
Loads is an operative term.
I was put on antidepressants so early as a kid.
Oh really? So they noticed that something was wrong.
They noticed that something was wrong.
That's not... I got to give a little credit to whoever put you on those, because someone's paying attention.
Right. And it was mom. It wasn't dad. Because mom or dad really didn't believe in like, you know, pull yourself by the bootstraps, you know.
Yeah, punch a horse or something.
Right. Like insert every cliche you've ever heard about manning up.
Yeah.
You know, and mom was like, you know, you're probably depressed. So, you know, they tried to put me to a couple Christian counselors and I just like saw right through their bullshit right away. And those like... were like one appointments and done.
Yeah.
So yeah, all the shame. And then, so I was dating. So interesting fact, I don't think I've ever told you this. I was dating this girl in high school. And the reason we were dating is because we had no good reason to break up.
Mm.
Like,
that's every relationship.
I know. I was like, that sounds familiar. So were you guys having sex? Probably not, because it's Catholic.
No.
Okay, so you're just doing, but there was no problems because you guys were friends, probably.
Right, we were friends. So like, there wasn't like, it didn't matter that it didn't work. It was like...
It didn't need to work because you weren't supposed to be using it anyway.
Right. We were both like good Catholics, like like afraid to say the word
contraception. And I gotta say, like, girls don't know how things are supposed to work for boys when you're hooking up in high school, especially if you're like haven't had any experience. I would never be like, you can't get your dick up. Like, that's not even something I'd say now, you know, but like, at least I would know there's something dysfunctional about it.
Right. Yeah.
Then I would just go, I guess it doesn't get hard. Like, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Especially we just, I think maybe high schoolers now with the internet know how a penis should work, but
right.
I don't think back then I would have been like, my boyfriend can't get it up. Like, it I wouldn't have known. I would have been like, thank God.
As a teenager, you can't blame it on whiskey. You gotta be like, I got Yoo-hoo dick. Right. Too much of the Yoo-hoo.
Sunny D dick.
Is that what the D stands?
Yeah.
So like, like, how explicit is his show? Is it pretty
very
good? Very explicit.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
So it was like dry humping to the point of, okay, ow, that hurts, let's stop.
Yes. But that's also high school. That's everyone's high school, right?
That's my college experience. Yeah.
You just wouldn't have a wet spot in your pants afterwards.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe what, like, could you close your eyes and think of a dude?
Yes.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah. But and sometimes that worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
You're watching She's All That, you're focusing on the Freddie Prinze Jr. parts while it's going in the background. Exactly. You guys are dry humping in her mom's basement.
And then afterwards we're like cuddling and holding each other, like I'm staring off at the wall, like into this like deep abyss. It's just like, this is not right.
Yes.
With
what you've experienced, like, because nowadays kids, like, so much is out there about this where kids are starting hormone therapy very young. And then you're saying, like, you, because of probably how closed off you were, you had no idea what the hell was going on. Now, with parents that are extremely supportive and, like, giving, therapy or hormone therapy to like kids that are 11, 12. How, what are your thoughts on that as a
transgender person?
Like, how early should you start? I mean, I guess it's different for every kid.
How old, if you would have been in an environment where you were totally supported for who you were, what age would you have been like, yeah, I know, and let's do this.
I think sometime in 7th or 8th grade.
Yeah.
Is when I knew. Yeah. Puberty.
I got to say, like, that's when you, that's when things click for people. Like, that's when people start getting depressed. Mm-hmm. Like, if you talk to people that are like, that's when girls get eating disorders. That's when I got my eating disorder when I went through puberty, which was late, like 17. But like, it always lines up, like, you, the shift of knowing who you are and not being able to like, and an eating disorder is in response to like, I know who I am and I don't like this and I have to do something about it. It's like, those are the, puberty is when that shit sets in.
It really does. And so, I'm all for like, you know, I do believe that people know like a lot earlier. Like, I think people know when they're 8 or 9. Like, I totally believe that. And I totally am supportive of parents. Like,
do you think you would have known earlier had you been more, your parents had been more like,
you know,
like,
I think
here,
so
choose what toy you want, choose color you want to wear, like, gravitate towards
yeah,
be, have Halloween be every day.
If my parents knew that people could be transgender, I think if my parents knew that and that was, I don't want to say presented to me as an option,
your dad would have lost a lot more shifts,
right?
People, no, I,
but if I knew that transgender was a thing when I was growing up, like, I think my parents would have saw like me dressing up when I was in fourth grade as a woman. Like, okay, well, he might be a little different. Like, let's let him explore that instead of like just jumping down my throat and like making me afraid to come like 50 yards within a dress.
Yes.
But it made you class present.
It did. It did.
Without that, you never would have ran. Good,
that's what they,
God, that's true,
said.
Andrew.
Yeah, yeah. You never would have been
right
as strong as you are.
Did you, do you remember the first time you heard about trans or like that was a thing and go like, was it like a epiphany? Do you remember?
It honestly wasn't until like late college.
Yeah.
But by that time, by late college, well, let me back up a little bit before that. So I dated this girl, and we had no reason to break up because we were good Catholics and we didn't get in arguments. She was Valley
Victorian.
And she was Valley Victorian.
Oh, wow. Two above you.
Right. So, like, in this friendly little competition. So, like, we never got in an argument. So, we were actually engaged to be married.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You proposed?
I did.
Oh, my God.
It was the most awkward thing in the world. Oh, my
were
God.
You guys best friends, though? Like,
we
did
were.
You love her?
I still love her,
way?
And I still talk to her to this day.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. And, but it was one of those situations where it's like, we have no reason to break up, so we just keep going. Anyway, finally, like, you know, because I was working at the gay bar concentrically with this at the same time.
How did you explain that away?
Oh,
what's this a job?
Eventually I told her, I was like, well, I'm bisexual. And even though I'm attracted to men and women, I'm going to be faithful to you. So that's
cool
how I
that.
Explained that away. And the priest who was going to marry us at the time, this is interesting. The Catholic priest who was going to marry us was like, okay. And then, you know, she went off to college. I went off to college. And then finally he brought me into his office. Like, how do you really feel about this? And I totally broke down and said, like, I don't think I'm straight.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't think you are either. I don't think you should get married. I think you should move away from St. Louis.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
The last one
him.
Was a little much.
Yeah.
Oh, move, like, not in a mean way. I heard
get
that.
Get out of town.
That's how I heard
it. He wasn't like, get the hell out. He was like.
Oh, I heard it like,
do you think
yeah, don't look back here, you see?
He was like, you need to go somewhere okay. away from where you grew
all
up.
Right, that
where they'll accept you.
Right. And find yourself.
Yes. Okay, where you can be free
yeah.
to.
So you headed towards Portland.
Yeah, I wish. No, it was Arizona. Where,
okay. Oh, my God.
Where guns were plentiful.
So you went to Arizona. That's where Noah is.
That's right.
Yeah. Where in Arizona did you go?
I lived first in Mesa and then in Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, at the gay bar, so I decided that like I was bi. And then it wasn't until he called me into his office when I was like, no, I'm not bi. I'm actually gay.
So was he cool?
He was very cool.
Was he gay?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Like, yeah. He's like, run. Don't end up what I, like.
He's like, I know exactly how you're feeling. Yeah. You just.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, him so, becoming class president was putting on a priest outfit.
Right?
Yes. I mean, that really
we
is.
We all have our class president
yeah.
moments.
Yeah, we do.
That's why I have a basketball.
Right. That's
oh,
your
man. I'm a big man.
And so how my dad handled this, which was interesting. And again, just, you know, because he's this imposing figure. He's 6'4". He's huge. Like, just, you know, I'm 5'7". He's just an imposing figure. Man's man, kind of, you know, never misses a hunting season kind of a guy. NRA lifetime member. When I was moving to Arizona and when I broke off the engagement, he was like, this isn't that gay thing, is it?
Mm. Wait, had you brought it up before, Tim?
Never.
This isn't that gay thing. Like
But that was his words. That gay thing.
Oh, like you didn't catch that gay thing, did you?
As if it was like a virus that was going around.
Yes, yeah. That gay thing.
Yeah, and more and more people were getting it.
Oh, you're stupid, Dad. And stupid in a loving way, like of just like how dumb, how ignorant.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting was my sister had come out before me.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and... Oh, that was a bombshell. Like, Dad called all of us and said, regarding certain events that have happened in our family, like, we are not going to discuss. And all of us were like, bullshit. We're proud of Mary. We're going to tell everybody we possibly can.
Yeah.
That she's like, come to herself.
Were you like, yes, I have an in. Now I was. Mary led the way.
I was so, yes, I was so excited. But then when Dad phrased that question, like, this isn't that gay thing, is it? Like, I just didn't have the inner fortitude at that moment. To
be like, yes, it
to
is
be like, yes, it was.
Now they got cool guns in Arizona, Dad.
Right. Yeah. I want to go. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go where the AR-15s run like water or something.
Hunt the javelina. Right.
So I packed up my Geo and my manly Geo and I got out of there.
So you said, no, it's not the gay thing.
I said, it's not the gay thing. I just need to go and find myself and find out what I want to do with my undergrad career and go on from there. And so I decided to drive to Arizona. And when I drove to Arizona, I lived with my sister's friend, who was also a gay teacher. And so I was going to explore my sexuality. I was going to explore who I was as a person. And
had you ever been with a man?
No, at this point. No, I take that back. No.
Take it back.
I took it back because I just remembered in my senior year of college, because I was, you know, playing the gay bar regularly.
Right.
I had hooked up with two different men at two different periods. Mm-hmm. I'm like, shit, this is it.
Like now it's working.
Like, it worked, and I don't have to, like, think about something different.
Yes.
I woke up next to you, and, like, it doesn't feel weird. Yeah. And, yeah. But I still felt that I needed to leave somewhere.
Yeah.
And... like, even though I was accepted in the gay community, I didn't feel like I'd come out in that community because I was so close to family, where family was.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you got to Arizona and then you explored it.
I did. I started dating. But what was at the same time bad was I jumped into being a choir director and doing music right away. So... living as a gay man, but also doing music and having my professional career as a choir director, I let my career kind of take over and like didn't date as much as I should have as someone who is like exploring
because
themselves.
Because you also were not technically a gay man.
No,
so
I wasn't.
So it's still not the right fit.
So
what for you was the moment, what to you is the, because I think people get held up of like, what's the difference? How do you know that? What? Yeah. How do you know you're trans and not a gay man? How does that all feel?
Someone described it to me. It'll come back to me. It's just knowing that these aren't my people, knowing that this is not my tribe. This is not my. I can't put words to it, but
not liking this, share as much.
This isn't it.
Yes.
It also makes a lot of sense to me that like you. You seem to throw yourself in the work, which everyone, like,
yes.
But because you're trans, that you're like, well, why are you not taking the time to explore your sexuality more? Like, you're not doing that. It's like, no, a lot of people just focus on work and not think within
but
themselves.
But I can see how even the you it's know, deflecting. Throwing yourself, it still is avoiding.
Oh yeah, this yeah. Thing no, I'm saying we all avoid it. Like it makes sense to be right. Like, yeah, I was just focusing on my career for that. Maybe I'll start focusing on
right.
who I am yeah. or whatever I am. We all do that with a lot of things.
Another reason that, yeah.
But we expect, you know, you're trans, you have to figure it out. Why are you not figuring it out?
Like, how come you haven't come figured out?
Yeah, like, yeah. Maybe I'll figure it out next. Right. I'm lazy. I'll go in 3 years.
But also, it could be something that you're just putting off.
Of course.
Because you just don't want to.
Which one it was.
You don't want to take the chance. Yes. You don't take the risk. You don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to do something that you feel is inherently wrong because of how you were raised.
Right. And part of what complicated it was, so I grew up in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. I was a choir director in a Catholic church. So, like, if I came out as trans, I'd be fired instantly.
Yeah.
Just, that's the environment it is. I lost a job here in St. Louis for being trans when I was outed.
You were outed?
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear that story right when we get back. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
All right, we're back. How were you outed?
Okay, so let me back up a little bit in Arizona. So
yeah.
I was directing a 50 voice female choir, like kind of barbershop-ish, kind of show tunes. And so we had this small little group that would get together for an afterglow. So we just had wine, drank all night, and, you know, had dinner.
Went down on each other.
Yeah, little dinner parties and went down on each other. Right.
Nice.
And, you know, one of the women was like, well, what if you're trans? And then...
Because you were just like kind of talking about...
Yeah, we were talking about like sexuality, like identity, growing up, just, you know, things all that had related.
And this was a Catholic program?
No. Okay, this was not. Totally secular.
There okay.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. What if I am trans? So we kind of kicked that around a little bit. And she was like, well, I'll tell you what. I'm friends with this doctor, and I want you to go see her. And why don't you guys just talk and have a conversation and just see where it goes. And so I went and saw this woman who I found out later was like the trans therapist that all trans people go to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
She just happened to be friends with one of the choir members.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like total serendipity. And she started asking me all these questions about growing up, about like cross-dressing and like... you know, the number I was in the order of like, you know, I was second youngest, and just asking a whole bunch of probing questions about how I grew up in my family life.
How many kids are in your family?
Five. I'm the second youngest.
Do you know that that's like, there's something about like more, I know that gay men tend to be like
further down the line.
Further down the line.
Yes.
Why is, because the woman's body like is drained of testosterone.
You know, I don't know. I used to know
some kind of thing.
There is something
later born children are more likely to be gay men or I guess trans.
Right.
Too.
And there are things, there are medicines I know that studies that have been linked to the medication that a mother takes when she's pregnant that also have been known to lead to whatever happens in the brain to inform you that you are female.
Yes.
Mm. You know, and so I've never had that conversation with mom yet about like what her diet was while she was pregnant, what drugs she took while she was pregnant, how much stress was she under when she was pregnant.
It doesn't really matter either.
Right.
Because you just
at this point, it doesn't matter.
No one needs to be blamed because there's nothing wrong with what you are.
Exactly.
Like there's no, when people need to like figure out the source of like explain why it happened, suddenly like it's looking to place blame somewhere when really blame is just a way of making something seem like it's wrong.
Right.
So no one yet, or I mean, I guess it could be like, well, let's figure out a way to make more trans kids by taking those. But I don't think that's what we are looking for when we research that.
No,
it seems like we're looking
so.
To squash that from happening, which is not a thing that should be done either.
No, that should be done. We should be like preventing trans children.
Yeah, but
like
that is interesting. You can't even have that conversation with your mom.
No, right? And that's a conversation that I've like just accepted that is laid to rest. That won't ever happen. So in Arizona, so I left directing high school at churches, and then I went and taught choral music at a Catholic high school. And then everything went well. They gave me a $10,000 raise at the end of the year. And then they called me into the office about, I would say a couple weeks after school.
Were you still presenting as a man?
I was still presenting as a gay man.
Yeah.
And they said, we found some articles online where you identified as a gay man, and we're really sorry, but that goes against Catholic doctrine. We can no longer have you hired here. We have to let you go. And so I was fired as a gay man. Mm. And so that led to a mental spiral that lasted a good year and a half, to the point where I really don't want to get your show all dark.
No, that's but, where we usually go.
Okay.
Don't worry. We'll lighten it
this
up.
This is
with
the
some,
lightest show okay, that we've
so,
had.
So, and you can lighten this up because I've already been to plenty of therapy. I've already been to plenty of therapy to get through this. So, like, so I did try to kill myself when, because I felt that identity and.
Yeah, you know, being you just lost your job. You just, like, who you are is wrong.
What
You're
am I doing?
Bad.
Yeah. What I, who I am
How
is bad.
How dare you be this thing that you are?
This great Arizona experiment was now coming to an end. I don't know what to do. So my family was like.
How'd you try to kill yourself?
Hmm?
How'd you try to kill yourself?
I took, I don't know how many sleeping pills I took, and then oxytocin. Is that the
pain? Oxycontin.
Cotton. I always get confused between oxytocin and the, yeah, the feel good. The,
is the hormone, I think, it sets yeah, off in your brain.
The painkillers. I took so many painkillers and just tried to cut my veins. You can probably still see scars.
This is all from that one time?
Yeah.
You just went
yeah, and just started slashing myself.
Oh my God.
And finally, I took so many sleeping pills that I fell asleep. And just
oh my God.
Fell asleep doing it.
And then how did you not die?
Then... Well, I fell asleep. And
did
then
you write a letter?
No. I just like, I'm done.
Most people don't.
No, I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't. I've written Dear Mom and Dad letters since then.
Right.
And then have since never, obviously I never sent them and have always convinced myself to come out of
them. Trans people kill themselves more than any people.
Trans women, it's estimated that about 50% of trans women will try to kill themselves at some point in their life.
Jesus Christ.
50%.
Yeesh. Okay, so how did you not die?
So the sleeping pills knocked me out. I ended up like dropping the razor blade and I woke up the next morning with scars all over my body.
Oh, and you woke up?
Yeah, I woke up the next morning.
Oh my God.
Just covered in blood.
Was like, there a thought of you that you were like, am I dead? Like, did you remember what you had done? And were you kind of like,
I didn't remember at all what I did.
Now I got to clean this shit up.
But then as it slowly came back to me.
I'm
going to
lose my deposit on my apartment because there's fucking blood everywhere.
But I'm like weirdly well rested.
how's that?
Yeah, I like slept like a while.
You're like I took 10 milligrams of melatonin. Like,
exactly.
What? Aria, I don't think that really... Were you mad that you were alive? Some people when they
I was.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm alive for a reason.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna try it again. Let me just accept that this happened and see what I can do about keep putting one foot in front of the other and see where that goes.
Was this the first time you like it all hit a wall? Or because until then, were you depressed in high school where you thought suicidal thoughts? Because
a lot of kids
actually commit suicide or like go attempted that are transgender, correct? Like,
I think that is absolutely.
So you didn't have these kind of thoughts
until adulthood.
And did you do this on the heels of getting fired like that night? Or was it like, did you try to talk to friends about it? Did you try to go back to that doctor? Like, was there anywhere you could go before you reached for that?
There wasn't.
It was immediate that you went home and like, boom.
I was like, I was fired. I have no place to go. I don't want to go back to my family. Again, this great Arizona experiment of like living as a gay man obviously didn't work.
You're just like, I gotta not be here because everything about me is wrong.
And
the thing that I want to be is wrong.
Right.
How can I do this?
And I errantly had the idea that the only thing I was capable of doing was working as choir director in the Catholic Church. So I was like, as soon as I come out as trans, like, I'm done. Like, there's something else I can do. Like, what am I?
The one place that.
Because I got my doctorate in sacred music. That, like, qualifies you to work in churches.
You're kind of stuck doing a certain type of thing. Final thought. So we got to close this up. But I want to just say that makes sense to me is that you've put yourself in this position where the only thing you can do, like, if suddenly I got suicidal when stand up was taken away from with COVID, or if, you know, I tend to go to those thoughts of like, I can't be here anymore when I feel like who I am inherently, I keep fucking up. I'm causing everyone else pain. Mm. Everyone's embarrassed of me. I can't stop who I am and I need to go. And that especially if the one thing I do is taken from me and I have no, I mean, it does put you in that position of like, okay, well then I'm done here, I guess.
My whole identity is worthless.
So what do you do? What do you do? Do you just...
Well, I had that mental breakdown. I tried to kill myself and I went through an outpatient therapy program. And finally, my family...
That's good.
Family convinced me to move back to St. Louis. And I was like, okay, I'm going to move to St.
Louis.
To
be a plumber.
Right. No, Dad has told me
there's a new opening at our firm. There's a gay guy that just got.
Your dad just gives you a plunger and you're like, it's time.
But this time he owns his own business.
Did he know that that gay thing was a real thing at this point when you moved
back? At this point he did.
Okay.
Because they had come back and visited.
And your sister has, they've married, right?
Right. Yeah. And she had been married. Of course, they didn't come to the wedding. And
well, it's long distance. It's far. Yeah. All the way in Chesterfield.
Right.
That's a very St. Louis joke that I wouldn't have been able to make a year ago.
And so I came back to St. Louis. I was like, I'm going to come to St. Louis, get my mental health in order, and then I'm going to leave the country. Or not leave the country, but that would have been nice.
Yeah.
Leave Missouri and then transition somewhere else. But as it turns out, I ended up transitioning here. But before I was finishing transitioning, like hormonally and living, like, in society as a woman, mm-hmm. I was still working for a Catholic church. I don't know why. I will explore that with my new therapist tonight.
It's all you know.
Yeah, it's all I knew. And
so you can go back into it and see an opening where they don't know you're gay, or maybe they're cool with the gay thing. Then you go back.
Well,
right.
It's part of you being like, look, I'm just a human being just like you. You want to be, there's something I think really positive about, even if Catholicism's negative towards what, mm-hmm. but like showing them like, hey, I'm a human, here I am.
Well, look at what, like, that priest did for her.
There's one thing for you to hide. Yeah, like you could hide and go find a certain, but here you are going into
close quarters. You can kind of take kids aside and be like, listen, I get what you're going through. Here's how
there's something beautiful about going to a place where you're not invited and being yourself.
My therapist says this thing, and I shared it with Ari yesterday. My therapist says that in our romantic relationships, and I think even in the jobs we choose, the people we surround ourselves with, we're trying to mend the thing we thought about ourselves from childhood, whether mm-hmm. your mom didn't give you enough attention, your dad mm-hmm. didn't give you enough attention, whatever story you have about yourself in your childhood that your parents gave you intentionally, unintentionally, they're good people, bad people, it doesn't matter. We as adults, we try to recreate that exact same scenario where we're not getting what we got as childhood, and we're trying to actually convince that person we are good. So, like, if you didn't get attention from your mom as a child, or they didn't, like, you know, whatever you didn't get as a child, you're trying to recreate that same exact scenario, and then you're trying to prove it wrong, and so wrap mm-hmm. it up. And so you're constantly throwing yourself back into the similar situation as your childhood, as being in a place where they don't accept who you are fundamentally. Right. And you'll really never, you're always trying to mend that. So you got to be aware of the choices that you make. And it makes sense that you would keep going back to the Catholic Church.
By this time I was enough of a like socialist and like just as far left as possible that I was like, you know, I want to be trans in a Catholic church. I want to just like say like, fuck you.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, how I was feeling.
I was close enough to the choir that I...
So you are doing this for a political statement.
Yes, absolutely.
You're just doing it to just challenge status quo.
Yes, you know, just throw down institutionalism. And,
yeah.
It's like, honestly, we don't have one straight guy that wants this job.
Like there's no... Right. So I was out to enough of the choir members. Finally, one of the choir members... I assume it was one of the choir members, outed me to the priest, and then the priest called me.
You got fired again?
And I was fired from the Catholic directing job. And it was finally that time I said, fuck you, Catholic Church. I'm not going to work for you ever again.
Good.
And now I work for a very open, affirming Gethsemane Lutheran Church off of
what
Hampton.
What is it called?
Gethsemane Lutheran Church.
Gethsemane?
Gethsemane, like the Garden of Gethsemane in the Bible.
Oh, I thought it was like Gethsemane was like semen. Get semen in me. That's the kind of church I could be a part of. Gethsemane 3600 Lutheran Hampton Church.
Road. Yeah.
I'm sure they don't appreciate that joke, but okay.
They won't appreciate that joke. My pastor is an absolute fan of yours. So she'll listen to this podcast and laugh that we're making fun of our namesake.
Well, that's great that you ended up
so
in a
totally
church,
open
though,
and affirming.
Yeah,
I've had a naming ceremony.
That's right.
Yeah, which was really beautiful, and I had my sisters who had come around to support me, like be my sponsors, so to speak, and be there around me when I was ceremoniously choosing the name Aria.
Yes.
And ceremoniously be giving the name Aria. So there was some wonderful liturgical ceremonial closure or...
Yeah, you got like reborn.
Yeah, there is a sense of being reborn.
It's funny.
Or being baptized
in a way. Because when we first met, I had no clue that you were trans. I just thought you were a born a woman, cis mm-hmm. woman, like had no clue that that you were trans. And I felt a little bit nervous telling you once I found out you were trans, like I don't know if it's because to me being like, oh my God, I would never know you were trans makes it implies that there's something wrong with being trans or like, oh, you're getting away with no one knowing. So like, good for you. But it was also, I learned that, and this isn't for everyone who's sure. trans, but you appreciated hearing like,
I really did.
You're passing. Like it's not because I think what people think. So we were talking about this yesterday. So many trans people feel like, you know, people think they're trying to get attention and they're just trying to like be different and, you know, make a political statement when really trans people just don't want any attention. They just want to like be normal. They don't
want to live life.
Yeah. They don't want you to have to know they're trans. They don't want everywhere they go for you to whisper and be like, that's, oh my God, they're like, they just, they want to just fly under the radar. They're not, they're looking to be treated equal, not to be treated like better than or like special treatment.
So true.
And I think so often true. That we think that they want something more than just equal rights. But to get those, they have to be a little bit loud and obnoxious sometimes because that's the only way change happens. So
right.
don't misunderstand people fighting for trans rights of them wanting more than just what everyone else gets normally. That's all they're asking for.
Right. It's never been a more than.
Yes.
It's just so, equal to.
Yeah. Well, this has been, we have to wrap this up, but okay. this has been, I feel like we tied it up pretty well.
I think so too.
Yeah. We got to a place where you are who you are now. I want to direct people to, if they're in the St. Louis area, your sound healing and voice lessons. My mom takes voice lessons from Aria. Yes. She is just, if you're someone who's just wanted to explore your voice and you also give, do you do piano lessons? Like what, tell
no,
us what
I do.
You do.
Well, I do a Two main things I do. Besides,
sound healing is your main.
Sound healing is the main thing I do. And sound healing is like using therapeutic instruments that, you know, obviously that produce sound, but use them in a way that works with people's energy, whether that be like physical energy, emotional energy, spiritual energy, and kind of helps realign them and kind of helps repattern stress and anxiety and depression.
You would never know that lying on a table and having someone make noises around you yeah. right. would be so spiritually.
That's what Noah does.
Yeah,
she listens to Slipknot. So she lays down and listens to Slipknot and so just gets calm.
There's like these gongs and these little chimes that you just go, oh, I'm how sure. is this yeah. vibrating through my whole body? And they
scientifically proven to like,
yeah, I kind of rolled my eyes at it in the past, but mm-hmm. I felt very healed.
There's a vibration from my cat when he purrs that I feel that. Like,
yeah.
It's like it gets inside of me.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Pretty wild.
And so if you go to Aria, so ARIA Sound 108, Aria Sound 108, you can investigate.
.com.
I have everything about sound healing on there. And you can message me about voice lessons or sound healing.
Yeah.
But sound healing, something that I always do is balance the chakras, get your energies flowing right. I always clean and cleanse your aura to see if there's any like negativity in there, any like repatterning that needs to happen. And always, you know that fight or flight within you, cortisol.
Yes.
So
adrenaline.
Yeah. That parasympathetic system, always balance that and kind of work with whatever is going on.
Yeah. It's like kind of scary to go do any kind of lesson or like a sound healing at someone's house, because that's what happens. But she's got an amazing setup. She's so kind and understand, like, you don't, it's not awkward at all. It's just like, try something new. So if you're in the St. Louis area, check out,
or if you need a plumber,
ariasound108.com.
Right. Right. Promote the plumber.
Or if you need a plumber, I also do that on the side.
Oh, no, I was thinking we could promote your dad's business too.
Right, and I also give rides to gay men.
Yeah.
Any car.
Any car.
And what was the second thing? Voice lessons. Which
voice
you
lessons.
Give to Nikki.
So yeah. I give voice lessons to Nikki, which we end up talking most of the time, but I do give voice lessons to Nikki. I give just normal voice lessons. I also work with the trans population and helping to do vocal feminization. So working with their voice to kind of place it higher in their voice so they don't sound... A lot of trans women are afraid that like once they open their mouths and speak that they'll be quote unquote given away.
Yes.
And they want their voice to sound different. Mm-hmm. So I've worked with trans women to kind of work with their voice, their speaking voice and their singing voice.
Could you work with trans men too to lower their voice?
Well, the testosterone automatically lowers their voice.
Oh, okay.
But no, I haven't yet worked with trans men, but I certainly would not be opposed to.
Well, and you could do that over Zoom, right?
So, absolutely.
Yeah, if you like what you heard here and any of it resonates with you, hit up Aria. Aria. sound108.com and you're going to be here tomorrow for our episode where we go through Fanthrax. So look forward to that. We will see you tomorrow on the show. Don't be ca and
Jackson, Mississippi.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.